Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
I couldn't say enough about this couple, Sam and Jess. What do you think of your pastor, Sam and Jess? Quite honestly, I meet lots of people, and it's rare that I see a gift of leadership as obvious as on Sam's life, and the gift of grace on a woman as obvious as on Jess' life. And I meet lots of people. So I just want you to put your hands together once more for amazing, amazing pastors that lead with integrity and passion. I want you to let me just pray. I have prayed for a moment. I just need to pray one more time publicly. Father, I thank you for the breath of heaven. Thank you, Father, for your ministering spirit that's present right now. Thank you for releasing your heart on earth through me right now. Lord, I yield myself to the priestly function, hearing from heaven and speaking to earth. So we stand in a place of sacred responsibility and accountability. I ask you to guide my tongue, my thoughts. I wouldn't be distracted by shiny little thoughts, but you keep me focused on your words and your ways. And I thank you, this body, Lord, will receive your word from your heart with your spirit. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Just such a privilege to be here with Sam and Jess. You know you're a miracle, right? You are a miracle. This is in North America, this is not happening. What's happening here? It truly is a phenomenon. What Sam mentioned is quite true. Honestly, I love to listen to your pastor share, and I love being together with him. My heart's always enlarged when I'm with him. And this is just not happening every place in Canada. You're part of a real miracle. You are officially the biggest C3 church in Canada and the fastest growing. And we couldn't be happier. But just so you know, there's going to be more and bigger than you. And they may actually be birthed right out of this room. We don't know. I spoke in the previous service about we understand how the worlds were created by things that were unseen. You know, at one point you were unseen. You're the result of someone believing God for what's here today. You are the result of a seed that was invisible, but it began to be declared and vocalized. And the result is then some people put some action to that. And that's how the kingdom of God gets established on the earth. He looks for a man or a woman. He looks to fulfill his purpose and mandate on the earth. And that's what Sam and Jess are doing. I got to meet Marie last night and Josh. Marie's got a much better sense of humor than Sam, eh? She's amazing. And Josh, he's like the drummer guy. I'm not going to take him hunting sometime. I took Sam hunting once. He's probably never told you the story, right? I'll let him. It was just so much fun. It was -6, and we just went out together. It snowed 8 inches that night. He had sneakers and skinny jeans on. He said, I just remember it being really cold, and I couldn't talk. That was fun. That's lots of fun. I just want to say what a delight it is to be able to worship with such anointed people like Dallas and like Amanda and like Chrissy. Phenomenal. And so we don't mind sowing our best into a great harvest field and receiving the best. We've also given you John Lee. Reluctantly, but John Lee is here too. This guy has been amazing in our church for years. I don't know, was it 8 years? Were you with us? 11, right. They went fast. 11 years. So it's really great to have him here. And Vanessa and Greg came out together with that team, and Shane and Alyssa. And they just were like a bunch of hippies when they left. They had this caravan going across the country. And, you know, many people said, "You've lost your ever-loving mind." But look at the result, because they had something in their heart. They had a seed in their heart. And they weren't afraid to talk about it. And let me just say this, is that he had the vision stronger, greater, clearer than I did. Let me just straighten the records out. He had the heart for Toronto. We did have a vision for Canada, but he had the heart for Toronto. And I had actually given up when we were planning a church in Saskatoon. And the result of your leader coming to Saskatoon, because I had just about thrown my hands up after I knew I'd heard from the Lord, but I was trying to reproduce what we were doing in Calgary and Saskatoon. And that wasn't what the Lord had called us to do. He wanted Saskatoon to do its own thing. And one of the beautiful things about C3 is it contextualizes the kingdom principles into a geography and a location. We're not franchising. We're not a Tim Hortons deal. Bless Tim Hortons. But we're not. That's not what we're doing. We see the call of God and the touch of God on a leader, and we kind of do this. We're permission granting. Like, give it a go. Let's see what happens. But, I mean, we weren't the first to do that. When you look at what Jesus did with, right, those 12 millennials that he sent out that were pretty arrogant, pretty pride, always saying, like, who's the greatest? Right? They're a bit sketchy. Jesus would forever connect servanthood with greatness. We've missed that. You all have the potential of being great. And so what happens in the life of the church, maybe I just want to say my beautiful wife is with me, Kelly, of 36 years. And she rides with me, behind me. But we're together on the Harley and on so many other things. We have three beautiful children, three grandchildren. And it's just a real, and I feel like we've got lots of spiritual children. And I'm just really, really happy to be here. Just thinking about that first service, about the power of words in the process of healing, because this year I've been healed of a variety of things. And maybe you don't know it, but sometimes your crisis can actually become your life message. I meet people that say, I would like to see a miracle. I say, oh, would you like to be put in a position where you need a miracle? Well, no, not that. I just like to see one. But the kingdom of God is not about spiritual voyeurism. It's about engaging. You might think you're here as a spectator, but you're not. You're a participant. And the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. If you're here looking for a show, there's much better around town and around the... Cirque du Soleil is setting up already. Like, that's a show. This is not a show. It's a different deal. This is not an event. This is part of an ongoing process of the kingdom of God being established in Toronto through you and through me and through Pastor Sam and his team. That's what it is. All I'm doing here today is I'm affirming, I'm not saying something new likely. I'm reminding you of who you are, where you're going, and what's going to happen in your future if you'll stay true to the call of God in your life. That's all I'm doing. So we're part of your process. But the more, the quicker you align with that, the faster you move along in that process. My granddaughter, so the first service, I talked about the power of words. And my granddaughter, what we do on our birthdays is essentially we the person whose birthday it is that we'll go around the table and we'll say, now say something that you see in this person or a quality that you admire in this person. We teach our kids to prophesy by just simply saying something nice about another person. That's really what the spirit of prophecy is, edification, exhortation, and comfort. And so my grandson, he was helping me build a fence, and he said, Papa, are your tools from the 1800s? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they still got cords on them. He said, if you'd like, my dad will come over because he's a real builder and he'll help us build this fence. I taught him everything he knew. I tell my grandson I'm older than the internet and it blows his mind. He can't believe that. So my little granddaughter, I took her out on Slurpee Saturdays a few weeks ago and I said, what you doing this afternoon? Just watching movies on the iPad. I said, did you know that your grandpa never had an iPad when he was a boy? And she... Well, what did you watch stuff on, Papa? She had no place in her mind for not having a device. I said, by the way, we never had power windows neither. That blew her mind. It must have been hot in your cars. Times change. Times change. So what we do is we go around the table and we'll just say nice things about, oh, you're this, you're this, you're this, you're this, because we want them to live up to something better and higher standards. And as we were doing that, my grandson was 9 years old. Our granddaughter was three or four. So here's what she did. True, just as true and sincere and as honest as anything. She jumped up on the table in front of me and sat on my plate setting. We cleared the table. Here's the reason I blackmail them. Until you say something nice, you can't have dessert. That's what I do. I'm a good, good parent. So she jumped up on the table in front of me and sat down and looked me in the eyes. And she said, "Papa, say something good about me too." Do you ever wonder how many hearts in your spheres of influence are waiting for a word of hope or encouragement? Just say something to me. Because we get messages that tear us down. There's not very many with messages of hope that build people up. But if we're going to build the church, we've got to build people. And part of the way we build people is by using words of life and hope and truth. That's what we do. So I want to share with you this morning a really profound truth. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I love what you're doing with buying this Matthew house. That is a wonderful thing. And I don't know any other church that's doing this, but let me remind you. Do you remember when Jesus in John chapter 13, he was able to serve because he knew where he was coming from, he knew who he was, and he knew where he was going. I am going to speak over your church today, part of your destiny and your future. And once you know where you've came from, who you are, and where you're going, you'll be able to put a towel on and you'll be able to serve this city. That's what Jesus did. So Sam, I was driving with him yesterday, and he took me past Matthew House, and I said, "It's so amazing. Couldn't be prouder of you. That's one of the, nobody's doing this innovative a thing, and I just, that's just amazing." And I said, "Is the end game like more refugee houses?" "I don't know." I said, "Do you want a building for these people someday, like your own church?" "Yeah." And I said, "How big?" He said, "How big is your building?" He gets it. I said, 22,000 feet. He said, "That's the one we want." He's a quick, quick learner. Here's where you are. So we've been here 3 or 4 times, and every time it gets gooder and gooder and gooder. This is one of the best visits we've ever had. And so I want to thank you for hosting us. But I want to drill a few things into you about C3 culture and C3 heart, and I want to personalize it for C3 Toronto. So I want to make sure that you're recording this so in the future you can be reminded of the word of the Lord over your life. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Interesting, I've been thinking a lot, preparing a series on heaven. Chapter 5, all about our new bodies. How exciting is that? I want to begin reading by verse 11. On verse 11, it's because we know this solemn fear of the Lord that we work so hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere. I hope you know this too. Are we trying to pat ourselves on the back again? No, we're giving you a reason to be proud of us so that we can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart towards God. C3 Toronto has a sincere heart towards God. It seems that we're crazy, and it's to bring glory to God. If we're in our right minds, it's for your benefit. Whatever you do, it's because Christ's love controls us or compels us, the NIV says. And since we believe that Christ died for everyone, every soul in Toronto, we also believe that we have all died to the old life we used to live. He died for everyone so that those who will receive his new life will no longer live to please themselves. Instead, they will live to please Christ who died and was raised for them. Here it comes. So we have stopped evaluating ourselves by what the world thinks. Let the world evaluate you if you want. You do not answer to the world. We've stopped evaluating ourselves by what reports say, reporters says, what social media says. By the way, social media is not social at all. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. This will blow your mind. How differently I think about him now. Because part of your mandate is to help people think straight about who Christ is. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same person anymore, for the old life is gone and new life has begun. All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself through what Christ did, and God now has given C3 Toronto the task or the ministry of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. This is not a church that will account people's sins against them. That's been taken care of in the blood of Jesus. He's no longer counting people's sins against them. And this is a wonderful message. No kidding. He has given us to tell others. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you, Toronto. We urge you as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled. The term means friend or brought in harmony. Be reconciled to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the sin offering for all of our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. What a word! What a word! That is great news! Not just good news, great news! The message. If you haven't listened to one of the most listened to TED Talks, is Brené Brown's talk on vulnerability. Here, essentially, let me sum it up in half of a paragraph, because I want to say this about all the people in Toronto, all the people in North America, all the people in the world, is that it took her 6 years. I'm not sure how many earned degrees she has, probably 4 or 5 or 6, quite a few, maybe 3, I don't know, a lot more than me. So that's why I quote smarter people than me. It took her 6 years to discover this, and it turns out that her question was, what's the greatest need of the human heart internationally, universally? What's the greatest need? And her study showed that we are neurobiologically wired for connection. It may not seem like a big thing, but it is a big thing because it's biblically based on it's not good for us to be alone. You understand the relational nature of God. God is powerful. It's very humbling to think that your destiny is held in the hands of another person. That's actually quite humbling to think. I just want to remind you, many of the stories in Scripture remind us of that, that when God wanted to advance someone or promote someone, he put him in the proximity of someone who's able to open a door and an opportunity to get them to another place. There would have been no Queen Esther without Uncle Mordecai. Wouldn't it happened. Do you hear what I'm saying? But when God brings people into our life, we need to have the grace and the humility to listen to them and accept their word for us. I'm here to say this morning that God wants to advance you in your destiny and in your purpose, in your call, in your passion, and in your dream. But that will not come outside of a community of people that share and support your values. Let this be that community. We will not be afraid to preach the gospel, the great news of the kingdom of God. We will not be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation, which means more than forgiveness of sins. It means healing, prosperity, and deliverance. We will not hold back from that, but don't confuse that with purity or perfection. It's because we are all on the process, the same sanctification process together, and we only walk in the light that we've been given. But the path of the righteous and the path of C3 Toronto is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And it's based on strategic kingdom alliances that will further the cause of the kingdom in Toronto. That's a big deal. Brené went on to say then she said that that she defined shame, which I thought was fascinating, that shame is the root of all of society's brokenness. I'm appealing right now to your left brain. I'll move over in a minute. So she said that shame is the root of society's brokenness. And then she defined shame, most of you know this already, is the fear of disconnection. In other words, that I'm afraid that you won't like me. I'm not good enough, smart enough, strong enough, cool enough, whatever. I told the guys that they said, you dress like we dress in Toronto. I said, yeah, but I'm not going to rip my knees open because we have winter in Calgary. And I'm going to keep wearing socks. And I can't grow a beard. Shame, the fear of disconnection. Shame destroys connection. This will be a shame-killing church. I don't know if any of your parents said shame on you, but we're here to say shame off you. To break the holds of sin and guilt and manipulation and control. That's called freedom in Christ. Shame destroys connection. Guilt is different than shame. Guilt says that you did something wrong, but shame says you are something wrong. It goes to the core of our being. Shame screams that you're not good enough, spiritual enough, smart enough, pretty enough, strong enough, cool enough, whatever, to be loved or accepted. I'm here to break that lie. You are loved and accepted exactly the way you are. Don't you have a happy dance? But the trick is that God loves you too much, likely to stay the way that you are. And he may want to shape you and conform you into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is a painful process, and it requires our cooperation. You are like nobody else, Toronto. C3 Toronto has its own personality, its own gift, its own grace, its own anointing, its own mantle. Fascinating to me, I've been reading a book called The Blue Parakeet by Scott McKnight. If anybody's read or not, any Scott McKnight's material, is a seminary professor from, I think, Pennsylvania. What's fascinating in here, I thought, I think it's really fascinating, is he does a Jesus test to anybody that signs up for seminary. And then he does an entire seminary course on Jesus. I'm fascinated about this. I'm talking about being conformed to the image of Christ. I'm talking about us preaching the real Jesus. Because there's a bunch of fake ones, right? When people say to me, well, I know Christ, I say, oh yeah, which one? Did you know that Jesus made a whip? What did he do with that whip? He made a whip. He sat down, premeditated, making a whip. Do you know the Jesus that carries a whip? You see, because love demands a certain vengeance against those things that will keep you from fulfilling your purpose. I protect my kids as a daddy. That's what I do. And anything that Jesus, really, we need to give him the editorial right to remove anything that will keep us from becoming all that we've been created and called to be. Made a whip. Here's what the Jesus test did. He asked them questions. There's 30 questions. They're kind of random questions. And he asked them questions. And then he asked them questions about themselves. I thought this was fascinating. He calls it the Jesus test. They're kind of like this, a bit open-ended. Do you think that Jesus was talkative? Kind of a pedestrian kind of a question. So they answer. Do you think that his moods went up and down? You're all taking the Jesus test now, aren't you? Do you think that Jesus would worry about money? Do you think that Jesus would ever feel lonely? Questions like that. Just kind of, you know, straight up kind of questions. So he's field tested this for the last 18 years. And then what he does is he asks them questions about what they're like. So he says, ask them questions. Are you talkative? Do your moods go up and down? Do you have some anxiety and fear around money? You know, fascinating. It's fascinating that their Jesus is just like them. And rather than them being conformed to the image of Christ, Christ has been conformed to their image. It's so complimentary. It's just like me. I don't even have to do any changing. Interesting. I want to speak about this church and what this church is called and what this church was created to be. Because I grew up in a church that wasn't quite like that. I grew up in a church that when I was old enough to make my own decision, I wanted to leave. Because my church did not live out this message. It chose to count my sins against me, and sometimes publicly. I know. Could we just not be that kind of a church? Because the sin issue has been entirely dealt with in Christ. He's no longer counting our sins. That's really, really good message. That's a great message. But I had this encounter with Christ that actually changed the way I thought about him. That he loves me just the way I am. And that's a phenomenal thing. Because back there in the 70s, when I was ripping around the world, what I was looking for was the thing that that Jesus died for me, to be loved and accepted. And so by the time I was 21, I'd been around the world once, and I was on my way around again. But what I was looking for was very simply to be loved and accepted. Do you know if you spent the afternoon with Jesus, do you know how you'd leave that interaction feeling? Loved and accepted. It's an amazing thing to think of that. One of the titles that he used for himself, get this, was the friend of sinners. What if C3 Toronto could be the friend of sinners? What, just because we pick our criticisms, right? What if they wrote a report up in the paper that said C3 Toronto is a friend of sinners? That what we do is we find people who are bound up in sin and we love them until those chains are broken. What would that be like? Here's what your problem would be. Parking. Nobody needs to be told where they're missing it. We need to be reminded where we're hitting it. What we're created and called to be. We need that. You know, one of the other terms I love about Christ was he was the father of the fatherless. What if somebody who felt orphaned? And primarily an orphan is someone who's focused on selfish self-preservation and self-promotion because he has nobody else to promote him. They have nobody else to provide for them. So they have to get all they can all they get, and sit on the can. Orphans are hoarders. What happens if this was a place that could be a father corporately to those who are fatherless? What about that? Let me hint at what I'm going to say in a few minutes. That is one of your primary calls. That is one of your primary calls. Toronto is aching to be loved and accepted just the way they are. It's aching for a place that will accept them and include them and welcome them and not judge them and not condemn them and not force them into doing something they don't want to do, but a place will love them just the way they are, but will challenge them to become better than they are. It's a suggestion, but I'm going to declare it in a few moments. This is a phenomenal thing. C3 Toronto, you have the DNA of heaven. You came from somewhere. You're going somewhere, and you have the royal blood of nobility in your veins. That is who you are. How liberating and how freeing to finally understand that no one ever goes to hell because of their sins. This seems so hard to accept sometimes because we would like to earn our salvation. A better definition of religion, I think, is self-salvation. There is no other religion in the world that has a savior. Every other religion in the world is all the things that you have to do to please the deity. Following Christ is absolutely the opposite of that. It's accepting what he's already done for you. This is good news. And the cross has not lost its power. This is great news. I want to pray for people who have been bound and caught in religion. The good news is that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is phenomenal. This is life-changing. And our mission now is reconciling man to God. It's never God's anger that turns anyone towards him. My good news for you is God's no longer angry at you. It's the goodness of God that causes us to repent and turn and change. And when you get a revelation of the goodness of God, you'll say, I'll have what they're eating over there. The goodness of God. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, it says that faith works by love. Once you get a revelation of the love, the life-changing love of a good, good father, that all things are possible to him that believes, there will be no turning back. No one needs to point out the issues where we're at fault. This is what happens for me when I stayed at the hotel. C3 Toronto picked up our bill. This is what happened for you and I. When all of the world condemns us, when some of our friends condemn us, when culture says you're not good enough, you're not strong enough, you're not cool enough, here's what Jesus said. I'll pick up the tab for that identity, and how be you put on mine as pure and sinless. And that's how he sees you today. That's revolutionary. What a message. The parable in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 15. There's so many misconceptions about this. But the master shows his goodness and his kindness. And all the other workers get angry. And he says this at the end of that. Should you be angry because I am kind? One version says, should you be angry because I am good? The answer, of course, is a raving no. We should rejoice that he's good. I think that theology without some experience is like decaffeinated coffee. Like, what is the use? I met a guy in Calgary the other day. He was filling up with gas. He has a Camaro SS. Smoking hot car. I said, tell me about the motor that's in that. Tell me about the features in that. Tell me about the transmission that's in that. And then he said this. He said, did you know the Camaro comes out in with a four-cylinder? And I go, what's the use? If you're going to have a Camaro, get a V8, man. Smoke them tires. You may as well have a Prius. I don't know. Forgive me if you got a Prius. That's okay. But if you're buying a Camaro, get some muscle in that bad boy. Right? I love that. I love that. You know me, I'm a real Jesus guy. But that coat right there makes me look a bit badassy. I like it. That's a term in the Bible, Boaz. Let me move along. But that's the thing. The other issue is that experience without theology is flaky. If you just got, you need something solid. You need both theology. This is a two-edged sword. You need solid theology and you need life-changing experience. You need them both. When the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, he means that term in there is that you will have an intimate interaction with the truth, so you will experience something in your physical body. Your physical senses will actually start to come alive. You'll know that something has just happened to you. Listen, when I plug in, if I put my finger in a 220 socket, something happens. Now, I'm just here to remind us of who you are. Let me say this nicely. Open up your heart, please. I'm trying to say a few things. And I'm not going to wrap up without a little rant. Help me, Holy Spirit. Nobody gets saved. Let me finish the sentence. Nobody gets saved by walking to the front and saying a prayer. If that hurts your religion, I'm sorry. When the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's what it means. But here's what we do, is that we actually get a little bit of action in behind it. Faith without works, faith without some action is dead. You got to put some action. If you tell your wife you love her, I mean, and you should every day because they forget, but you got to put some action behind that truth. You hear what I'm saying? So what we do is we say, okay, everybody, if you would like to know Christ, we'd like you to make an action. This is really not a private thing, even though it's a private thing, but it needs to become a public thing if it's going to become something of substance. Because the enemy of your soul and the enemy of your salvation will try to steal that word from you, and he'll try to steal the life from you. He is a thief, and his primary objective is to steal and kill and destroy. You don't want any of that. But Jesus came that you could have life, and that will require an action of some kind on your part. C3 Toronto is a place that puts actions to their words. They're not just words. Let's use some words, but let's put action behind our words. How much more public do you need than a house? That's phenomenal. Phenomenal. All right. Church. There's a church. There's a church that points out your faults. There's a church that reminds that you're short of something. There's a church that reminds you that you're separated from God. That church didn't bring healing and deliverance for me. But there's another church. If someone says, do we need another church in Toronto? You could probably say, I guess that depends what you mean by church. But here's what Toronto needs. Toronto needs a place where people can come and not feel small, but feel bigger. They need a place where people can come and feel like we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We need a place that reminds us of the goodness and the greatness of God. We need a place that's a friend of sinners and a place that's a father to the fatherless. We need a place that has a redemptive hope and it has a mandate from heaven and is willing to put some action into it to change a city and transform a nation. That church. Isolation and independence are common in our culture, but they're counterculture to a follower of Christ. We need to remember that we are members one of another. The church, let me say this, that according to Isaiah chapter 9, it says that of his, and of his government, and of it, there will be no end. And I'm just quoting it wrong here now, but the government will be on his shoulder of his. I want to get straight. Of his, help me, Holy Spirit. Why are you slowing me down at a time like this? I'm in high gear. Don't want to hit reverse. Isaiah chapter 9. Of the increase of his, of the child is born, and the government will be on his shoulders, and his son is given. These will be your royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And his everlasting peaceful government will never end. Here's what you are, Toronto. You are a governing force in Toronto. In order for the kingdom of God to establish itself on the earth, it needs to come through an authorized channel and be dispersed into the earth. You are a governing force in Toronto. Will you accept that mandate? This is a big mandate, because you will have a specific assignment against you, the ever-increasing government of the Lord. But the government sets on the shoulders of who? The body of Christ. That's where it is. And that's who we are. I want to be that church that's forgiving. I want to be that church that's fun. I want to be that church that's freeing. I want to be that church that has a message of hope to everyone it runs into and is not afraid to speak good things over people in this city. I want to be part of that church. And if you continue like that, I might just move to Toronto. I want to be part of a church that not just talks about Jesus, but lives and loves like Jesus. That seeks out the hopeless and the hurting and the heartbroken and infuses their future with hope. That sees and feels the desperation of the fatherless and offers them a home of refuge. I want to be that church that accepts the marginalized and the misunderstood just as they are and loves them back to wholeness. I want to be part of that church. C3 Toronto, you are that church. I want to be part of that church that has the relational integrity and is not exclusive or elitist, but is inclusive. That is a friend of sinners and is willing to walk with them through to wholeness. I want to be part of that church. Remember who you are. You are the blood-bought bride of Jesus Christ. You are beautiful, you're magnificent, and you're glorious. You have a mandate to transform the culture in Toronto. That's who you are. You are designed to accomplish the impossible, to see the invisible. You are heaven's heart to a hurting world. You are C3 Toronto. I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to remind you the mandate that's on you to fulfill. When you leave from here today, you should feel about 6 feet taller and about 7 more inches on your biceps. You are a force to be reckoned with in this city. And you have only just begun. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. Baby. It's a bad world. That church that doesn't point at sinners but empathizes because it lives out its sanctification real time authentically. It relates and opens its arms and embraces and enfolds. The church that doesn't talk about the power of the gospel, but demonstrates the power in and through the broken vessels who are filled with the light and the love and the life of Jesus. That's who you are. That church is designed to expand, and that church is designed to explode. Not to be silenced, not small, but strong and solid. That church is not to be hidden in a holy huddle of holy ones. It is a counterculture of courageous ones, scarred by life, scorned by the religious elite. They are those that carry the revelation that are lavishly loved by the Father and untouchable by the Prince of Darkness. In fact, they see the enemy as an ex-employee of heaven, and overcoming is their inheritance as sons and daughters of the great King of Heaven. That's who you are.
That church knows it's born to rule over darkness and depression. That they're designed as a strategic, tactical, military, spiritual force to plunder hell and silence the demonic, destructive message that lies, steals, and destroys. We are that church that says no to sickness and poverty and oppression. We are that church that rescues, restores, and redeems those that have been held captive by satanic lies and spiritual blindness. We are that church that establishes the kingdom rule by preaching and praying in the full manifestation of Christ Jesus' redemptive work of destroying the power of sin and sickness and depression and discouragement. And you are part of that church. There's a huge interest all over your city for hope and peace and love. It's universal. But do they want to pay the price? The price is covenant. I know your leaders. They're willing to pay a price. Covenant needs blood to be established. Judas was close to Christ. Jesus said, there's one among me that's going to betray me. It's kind of the ratio, 1 in 12. That didn't affect Christ very much. Peter said, John, ask him if it's me. Peter's always open his mouth. John leaned over to Christ. He said, ask him if it's, is that me? Nobody knew. Wild bunch. But here's what happened. A moment later, he said, let's make covenant. I'm going to bring out the bread and I'm going to bring out the wine. And when you make covenant, when you cut covenant, this is why marriage is based on covenant. It's not based on what you can get, but on what you can give. At which point, Judas says, I'm done. I can't make covenant. And he went out and sold his relationship for 30 pieces of silver. There is a price. I'm not focusing on the price. I'm reminding us of the price. I'm concerned about those who inherit a blessed life through Christ, but have lost sight of the huge cost. I grieve over a gospel that's cloaked in benefits, that requires no action, no demands, and no responsibility. You are called, C3 Toronto, to reach those in oppression and darkness and remind them that the light has come. I love Isaiah 36, 16, verse 1. It says, arise and shine. It doesn't say arise and reflect. You are the ones that carry the light and the life of Christ within you. You're not to lounge around the courtyard of grace, sipping suds of the Spirit and chatting about the dragons of depression that are outside the walls. Question is, Jesus still asks, who will I send? We are that church. We are the C3 Church Toronto, a high-functioning part of the Church of Toronto. That church that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus, who is the head of his church. We are filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, and we will not be silenced until our King returns. You are a governing force in the six boroughs in this region. And you're known in heaven as holy, as majestic, and mighty. You will go on to plant at least 10 more campuses. You will arise and you will shine in Toronto. You will. You are C3 Toronto, proud and strong and free. You are authorized and deputized to take the keys of the kingdom. Today, we serve notice on the prison guards of hell that a church is arising that's going to come into their own, and they're going to storm the gates of hell, and they're going to prove the blood of Jesus was worth it. I'm just here to say, I want to be part of that church. Sign me up. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and the glory will be from sea to sea. You will arise with healing in your wings. You are a significant church. Don't let anybody call you down. Don't let anybody call you less. Don't let anybody say to you you're insignificant. You're seated at the table of a C3 Global, and we look in your eyes and say, you are mighty, you are powerful, and we are proud of you.